First of all, what I'm going to do is read you the articles of faith that were adopted by this church 150 years ago. Then we're going to have a song, and Dad's going to give us some of the history of the church and have a couple of special presentations. So I wanted to, this is some special wording that our forefathers adopted and put forth back 150 years ago. These articles of faith, which we trust we still stand on. These is the articles of faith of the Providence Association of Baptists, of the regular faith and order, the same being adopted by Bethel Church, Saturday before the third Sunday in June 1852. We, the Baptist Church of Jesus Christ, being baptized upon a profession of our faith, adopt the following articles in order to preserve the true faith and order of the gospel with peace, harmony, Christian union, and fellowship amongst the members of the body of Christ to the glory of God. Article 1. We believe in one only true and living God, who is eternal, immutable, the creator of all created things, visible and invisible, who governs all things in righteousness according to the counsel of his own will, and that he has revealed himself to the children of men in the scriptures of truth, under the character of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Article 2. We believe that God created man good and upright, but that man by his sins and transgression has become dead in trespass, and in sins, and is utterly unable to change his own heart, or to deliver himself from the depraved state in which he has fallen, under the influence of the powers of darkness. Article 3. We believe that God's elect were chosen in Christ before the world began, and were therefore appointed unto faith, and obedience in love, which is effected by the power and Spirit of God, in the work of regeneration, according as God has purposed in himself to do, that Jesus Christ was set up from everlasting as the head of his body, the church, and is in consequence of his union or relationship thereunto as the head of the body. His righteous life, death, resurrection, and ascension are the means or meritorious cause why the church is ever reconciled to God. Article 4. We believe that God's elect or chosen in Christ will in time be effectually called, regenerated, and born of the Holy Spirit, and stand justified before the purity of God in Christ, which is the righteousness of God imputed to them, and that they will persevere in grace to glory and never finally fall away. Article 5. We believe that good works in the act of obedience are the fruits of the faith of God's elect, and follow after they are born of the Spirit as the effect of grace in the heart, by which their justification and externally declared to the glory of God, and forms the main basis of Christian union and fellowship, which cannot be dispensed with. Article 6. We believe that the union and relationship of the members in the church or body of Christ is such that every member should submit themselves to the church with a feeling interest therein, and that baptism and the Lord's Supper are standing ordinances in the church of Christ to be administered to none but believers in Christ, and that to be legally immersed or buried in water is the only gospel mode or act of baptism. Article 7. We believe that none have a right to administer the ordinances of the gospel but such ministers of the gospel as have received their legal authority from the laws of Zion by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery who act under and by the authority of the gospel church. That the church should hold the keys of government in her own hands, and ministry with which she is blessed are to be considered her servants, as life and gifts which God has given her, subject to the government and discipline of the church. Article 8. We believe in the internal work of the Holy Spirit, both in experimental religion and the call to and the work of the ministry, and that it is the duty of the Church of God to distinguish herself from all false sects by expression of faith in Christ and her understanding in the Word of God as taught her by the Divine Spirit. And we will therefore have no Christian union or fellowship with those who deny these things. Article 9. We believe the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament are of divine origin and authority and are the only infallible rules of faith and practice. And we therefore agree that the Scriptures of divine truth are and shall be by us considered the only standard by which our faith and practice shall be tried, keeping in view the expressions of our understanding therein as principles upon which we have agreed to unite. Article 10. We believe that the Church, our kingdom of God, is a spiritual kingdom, that men in a state of nature cannot see it. As to the spiritual existence, that it is the door and medium by or through which the children of God, the converted souls, are the subjects of the Redeemer's kingdom. They step into their Christian duty and show forth the praise of Him who hath called them out of darkness into His marvelous light, and that it is therefore the duty of the Church to receive members by their relating their hope in Christ as their experimental knowledge of salvation wrought by that divine spirit which the world cannot receive, by which the heartfelt union takes place with those who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Article 11. We believe that the Lord's Day, our first day of the week, should be spent in the private or public worship of God, and that on that day we should rest from all temporal concerns except in cases of necessity and mercy. Article 12. We believe in the resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust, and in the general judgment, and that the joys of the righteous will be eternal, and the punishment of the wicked of endless duration. We trust we still stand by and shall forever stand by these articles of faith.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Wow. Ask Brother Jeb Owen if he could now to come lead a song for us.
I'm going to try to line a hymn out of my great-grandfather's hymn book here, the Lloyd's hymn book that they used years ago. We're going to be singing "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross" in a minor tune. When I survey the wondrous cross,
when I survey.
God,
save in the dead.
ground.
Cases, it wasn't a very pleasant transition. As we think about history, and you have to look backward to talk about history, so that's of the past. I have been privileged to help build two brush arbors in my lifetime to hold meetings on. We didn't have air conditioning, and Brush Harbor was the coolest place you could congregate. And we built two Brush Harbors, and there was a lot of work to that. We graduated from Brush Harbor to a part of a 60 tent. Used that a while, wore out two or three of those. And we built a tabernacle, which was a step upward. But when air conditioning came into vogue, that wasn't quite good enough, so here we are today in an air-conditioned building. But I want to say something about the preaching in the long ago in those primitive facilities. Even though we met in primitive facilities, that didn't hinder the brethren from preaching. Some of the greatest preaching I can remember in my lifetime was when I was a child. You know, the brethren would get to preaching with such power they'd stand on their tiptoes. You knew the gospel was being preached to you. In 1852, when this church was constituted, it was constituted under the name Presbyterian Baptist. This church was only constituted 20 years after the Great Division in 1832. And up until that time, we were just Baptists. But after 1832, we divided over the mission question, and we had to differentiate one with the other, and so they took the name missionary, and so we took predestinarian. But about two or three years after we were constituted, the Providence Association split over the heresy of the two-seedism. And those brothers with the two-seed heresy, they adopted the predestinarian name. They wanted that name, so we had to get a different name or drop that one. So we dropped it, and we used several different names. But the word primitive did not appear in our church minutes until about 1900. We used regular, we used the Church of Jesus Christ, but the clerk that was serving before I became clerk, they were, the Baptists had adopted pretty well all over, And so he began to put that in his minute, Bethel Primitive Baptist Church, and when I became clerk, I kept it up, and so it's been Primitive Baptist Church for this day. In 1986, Caldwell County Genealogy Society compiled a historical record of people and churches and towns of this county, and I was asked to submit a history of Bethel Church, and most of what I have to present today will be from that history that I wrote back then. The early history of Bethel Church and the people who went in the constitution of it is mostly from the family of one man, Jeremiah Jeffrey, who never reached Texas but died in Raleigh. In the year of 1819, a church was constituted in the home of Jeremiah Jeffrey, 8 or 9 miles northwest of the town of Tuscaloosa, Alabama. They named this church Bethel Church. And there's a historical marker standing on that side, north of Tuscaloosa on the Black Warrior River today. It gives a history of this church. The name of this church, Bethel Church, John Fleming and his wife were charter members of the church and later were charter members of this Bethel Church of Mike Mann. Elder Thomas Baines was one of the elders in the constitution of Bethel Church in Alabama. He was the great-grandfather of the late President of the United States, Lyndon Baines Johnson. Richard Cole, who married the daughter of Jeremiah Jeffrey, joined Bethel Church in Alabama, was baptized with Elder Thomas Baines. He and his wife were charter members of the Bethel Church at Mike Mann. The Jeffreys and the Coles moved to Tippah County, Mississippi, Blue Mountain, about 1842, and Richard Cole and his wife put their letters in the Primitive Baptist Church named Hepzibah, and were members of that church until they left for Texas. John Helms gave 2 acres of land over there at Blue Mountain, Mississippi, for church and a cemetery, and the church went down when they all left from over there, but the cemetery is still there. It was lost for a long time, but been discovered and planted. Richard Cole, in his writing, says the first sermon I heard preached in Caldwell County, Texas, was by Elder R.W. Ellis in the log cabin on high ground just east of Plum Creek, some 20 or 30 steps north of the Lockhart-LaGrange Road, near where the Iron Bridge now spans the creek. The road has not changed at that place from then to now, and I think the Plum Creek Church at that time held even the log cabin above mentioned. The above named meeting at which I heard Elder Ellis was in the early part of 1852. The Plum Creek Primitive Baptist Church at that time had several members living on Tennis Creek. And when I and other Baptists holding letters of dismission from Hepzibah Church moved to Texas and stopped there, the Plum Creek members on Tennis Creek drew their letters from the Plum Creek Church, and together with myself, Sarah, James Jeffrey and wife, Mary Ann, John M. Fleming, wife Abigail. On Saturday before the third Sunday in 1850, we were constituted Bethel Church at the residence of John M. Fleming, which is about 400 yards due south of where we are right now. The above quoted information was obtained from the writing of Richard Cole the First. Bethel Church at Mike Mann, Texas was constituted on June 19, 1852. Elder George Daniels and Elder R.W. Ellis from Plum Creek Church were the ordained elders composing the presbytery that constituted Bethel Church. On Saturday before the third Sunday in July 1852, the church chose Elder George Daniel and R.W. Ellis to serve John as pastors. The elders to serve the church as pastors from then to now have been J.M. Baker, W.S. Smith, Abel Baker, J.W. Shook, J.W. Baker, A.A. Culpepper, Richard Cole III, Joe Newman, G.W. Cox, M.T. Baker, W.F. Baker, E.P. McNeil, Armo Payne, W.H. Richards, E.L. Griffin, S.A. Knight, Jane Henthorne, W.R. Daniels Jr., and Brother Hugh Bass. Robert McFerrin was the first clerk of the church. Others to serve the church as clerk had been Richard Cole I, who served 39 years, George Cole, Richard Cole II, Zadie Hanley, S. Beyond, Richard Cole III, E.L. Culpepper, Osborne Wright, Otis Owen, E.M. Hudson, Margaret Jeffrey, Robert Baker, Curtis Owen, I served 41 years, and John Baker and Tom Owen. During the past 131 years, the Church of Bethel has ordained 12 ministers. Brother Abel Baker, J.W. Shook, Z.W. Baker, G.W. White, A.A. Culpepper, Richard Cole III, G.W. Cox, M.T. Baker, J.D. Fowler, W.R. Daniels, Brother Mark Richards, and Brother Tony Benitez. The deacons ordained have been S.B. Owen, Richard Cole II, E.L. Culpepper, Otis Owen, Jim Henry White, Curtis Owen, J.N. Holmes, W.M. Baker, W.J. Benbow, W.R. Daniels Sr., Tom Owen, John Hanson. Other brothers to serve as deacons who joined the church by letter were Richard Cole I, Jesse T. Jefford, Moses Tucker, E.M. Satterwhite, R.G. White, J.D. Hanley, L.L. Cobb, P.A. Palmera, Tillman Williams, James C. Hanks, George Jones, Irvin Johnson, and Kenneth Bass. The first member to join Bethel Church on experience of grace and baptism was George W. Cole in 1857. And our newest member that we have baptized here was the granddaughter of George W. Cole. She's past 90 years old when she was baptized. During the past 150 years now, Bethel Church has had 8 different places of worship. In 1852, it was constituted in the home of John M. Fleming, some 400 yards south of the present location. The second house was on the George Tucker Place, formerly owned by D. Thomas, about a mile and a half south of the present church. It burned down, and another church was built on the same site. The fourth house was built on the Oliver Bishop Place, known as the Foster White Place, presently owned by Jesse Williams. It was very near where Tennis Creek Church House was later built. In 1889, the association issue was agitated to the vision of the church. Upper Bethel built the house on the Med Jeffrey Place, north of Macmin, about 2.5 miles. Lower Bethel built the church house east of Macmin, about a mile beyond the Walter Long Place. In 1901, after both factions had been reunited, they built a wooden building on the present site. In 1952, the wooden building was moved and converted into a lunchroom, and the present tile building was built. Bethel Church was constituted on Saturday before the third Sunday in June 1852, and has had a meeting on the third Sunday and Saturday before from that time to now. We still meet on Saturday before the third Sunday. The church membership now stands at 46. During the 150 years, the world has undergone many changes, many new items, and lots of man inventions. Yet the church still tries to stand for the same Bible principles on which the church was constituted by our forefathers. And I'll say this, there's lots of people here today that are descendants of some of the people that I have read about. This church, like others, has had her share of troubles and trials, but the good Lord has seen fit to bless her with faithful men and women to stand by and uphold her. The cemetery that sits beside the church was started in 1847 with the burial of a young Ellison girl, the descendants of the Jeffrey family. The land was given by John M. Fleming for a cemetery for the whites and also a cemetery tract for the black people. 5 of the charter members of Bethel Church we know for sure are buried in this cemetery, together with Elder R.W. Ellis, the minister of the Constitution. There are 12 Primitive Baptist preachers buried in this cemetery. There are elders Abel Baker, J.W. Baker, M.T. Baker, C.P. Galloway, R.W. Ellis, G.W. White, Richard Cole III, W.Y. Hare, J.G. Fowler, S.A. Knight, Jesse Bass, and Harold Russell. And those two other ministers have plots in the cemetery to be buried at a future time. As we observe this time in our history, we can adopt the Apostle Paul, that emphatic saying, when he said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am."
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please. Brother George is a craftsman in woodwork. He has every kind of a lathe and tool to do exquisite, professional, articulate, detailed woodwork, and mostly from mesquite that he has, I started to say cultured, but it grew on his own land anyway. So he made the best of mesquite by making things from it. Brother George?
This
come
is
up
a,
here.
This is a bowl that is made out of a burl knot, and it grew, believe it or not, right out there on that climbing tree where that limb has grown out and it had died. And they were ready to haul it off and do away with it, burn it or get rid of it. And I asked for them to let me have that burl knot. It was just on a limb about so big, and then it just bulged out like a ball. And so this is what it says. This is to Bethel Church, 150th year. It was made during the month of June, which is our anniversary. And it's crafted from a burl knot off of the old climbing tree by G.V., G.N.B. That's George and Viola, June, year 2002. And I present this to Brother Bass for the church.
Most of the homes around here of Bethel Church members have different bowls and boxes and little butter, you know, the little box you used to make to keep butter in. He's even made churns. Stuff all out of them. And nearly every home's got boxes in their homes that sisters keep their jewelry in, or this, that, or the other. And so, Brother George, I believe that the church will decide, but I'd say that would be a good thing to keep on exhibit over in the other old building over there where we eat lunch. I'm going to put it in this chair right now.
Brother Bass, one other
yes,
thing.
Please.
I'd like to mention that the clock that you see on the back wall there, Bethel Primitive Baptist Church, established 1852, that was given to the church recently by Brother Glenn and Sister Shirley Lundell, who both have ancestors that have been part of this church, and they gave it to commemorate that, so we appreciate that. That's it.
Now, I travel around different churches, and I'm asked now and then about our meeting on third weekends. We meet Saturdays and Sundays. And we're one of the few churches today, as a kid growing up, well, a lot of churches met on Saturdays and Sundays, but we're probably one of the few that still has a regular meeting time on Saturdays, third Saturday. And as Brother Curtis read, that they met Saturday, June 19th, 1852. And the original minute said something to the effect that we will meet on third Saturdays, and that was, and Sundays, and that was the only time of the month they met then. But we will meet on third Saturdays and Sundays, and on Saturday we will have worship service and conference. And we ain't changed that yet. And you think anybody in this church would have courage enough to stand up and talk? And even suggest or intimate that we ought to drop that third Saturday? No. So we're old traditionalists, aren't we? But I believe many of those traditions, and Paul says that there are some you ought to hold on to. I want to take just a second before we conclude this program and say that those of you that are not from Texas, those covered wagons that left Tuscaloosa, Alabama with their church letters, and Brother Curtis read the trail down through Mississippi and all over to here, when they left in 1819, as early as that year, Texas was in turmoil so far as government is concerned. Now, you realize the circumstances of the world today, and each morning you get up, you're not sure what the morning news is going to be in America or wherever. But these folks that were come down and finally met in homes and constituted, they didn't know each morning they got up what form of government they were going to be in tomorrow. You see, when that was happening, we were under the flag of Spain.
Mexico,
then Spain. Spain wasn't in there anymore. Spain was in there somewhere. Before then. I made good grades in Texas history. And then we were a Republic of Texas. And then Santayana come in 1836 and overthrew us at the Alamo. And then we're under Mexico again. And then 6 weeks later, we overthrew he and his Mexican army at the Battle of San Jacinto and became a republic again until 1845, and we were annexed to the United States of America and became a state, and it still was 7 years later before this church was finally officially constituted. Now, I can see how they kept the faith and met, but they didn't know whether they ought to constitute yet or not, because the governments kept switching back and forth and this way and that. So anyway, we've been a state, and I think it was known as the Texas Territory back then. And for those that are not in Texas, this Texan was in Chicago one time on a business trip and had on his Western cut suit and an attaché case, his cowboy hat. He's standing on a street corner on LaSalle Street downtown looking at the big tall buildings in Chicago. And a Chicagoan walked up and said, "Hello, Tex. What do you think of Chicago?" "Well," he said, "I don't know yet, partner. First I've ever been this part of Texas." Now, Texas was is full of brags and this and that, and that has a reputation. And then along come Alaska and kind of shot us into second place. But we're still the biggest state in the South. But we have a lot of heritage down here. And I think what makes Texas great is this old church right here.
Amen.
Now, I'm president. I do. I think Buffalo Church is it. We got a lot of sweet sister churches all around us, including Stratton and Houston here and there. They're all one of their our sisters in Christ. And we're glad you stayed and participated in this, and we're going to sing for about 15 minutes or so, and then we'll enter into the preaching service. And I'll go ahead and announce now, these brethren don't know, but I'll announce now the afternoon service after we sing a little bit will be Brother Hugh Montgomery will be followed by Brother Pat. Let's start our song service. Would you like one more thing?
I'd like for you to close this with a word of prayer.
Would you bow with me? Most righteous, eternal, heavenly Father, we pause and bow our heads in silence. we are in awe as so many things float across our memories and our minds are stirred this way and that. But above all, our minds by an eye of faith reach up into the throne room and lay all trivia and all of these mundane things aside. We look into the throne room and we see our intercessors standing at the right hand of the throne, making intercession for us. Oh Lord, if it could be Thy holy will this afternoon, could we approach Thy throne close enough we could touch one silver thread on the hem of Thy beautiful garment and feel virtue flow out and our cups overflow. And we, with exaltation and unrestrained refrain, we start praising and adoring and honoring and glorifying Thy great name in songs and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and in prayer and in fellowship and above all, the preaching of the gospel that comes not in word only but in power and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance. Oh Lord, may You continue to bless this meeting and to bless this church as the years unfold and the days and years come and go and the seasons change. Oh Lord, as the young people of this church, may they take hold of this heritage and continue to preserve it and to stand fast and to march straight ahead into that straight and narrow path under the banner of the King Jesus Himself. And carry on this so long as time shall be, until the glorious morning of all mornings, when time shall be no more. And this church, along with all other churches and the entire Lett family, will be ushered right in to that glorious place where we'll abide in peace and harmony and love forevermore. The view and the vision, O Lord, is glorious to us because we pray and give thanks in the greatest name that's ever been named, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for His sake. And amen.
Amen.
If you would allow me just one little prayer. There's another song on that page. 266. As long as I have a mind, I'll never be able to sing that song without remembering one that touched my heart in many ways. Brother Mark's dad used to sing that song in a special way. My wife Gladys's dad told us on more than one occasion he wanted Elder Ralph to preach his funeral. He's kind of brokenhearted when Brother Ralph went first. But we know right now that they're both rejoicing in glory singing this song. And we know that we'll have that to look forward to also.
Amen.
266, heaven is my home.
I'm glad.